Everything has its season, everything has its time. Show me a reason and I'll soon show you a rhyme. Cats fit on the windowsill, children fit in the snow. Why do I feel I don't fit in anywhere I go? Rivers belong where they can ramble. Eagles belong where they can fly. I've got to be where my spirit can run free. Gotta find my corner of the.
It's a song which might just as easily have been penned and sung by Joni Mitchell, Carole King, Carly Simon, James Taylor, or any of those great sirens of the 1960s. But this particular Corner of the Sky was claimed by composer-lyricist Stephen Schwartz for a show called Pippin, which in time has proved to be as much about his voyage of self-discovery as that of his idealistic hero. Allow me, Edward Seckerson, to spirit you through the many-faceted world of the Stephen Schwartz musical.
Join us, leave your field to flower. Join us, leave your cheese to sour. Join us, come and waste an hour or two. Do-de-do.
And seeing was believing. The image was unforgettable. A row of disembodied white-gloved hands picked out of the misty blackness in UV lighting. Bob Fosse's quirky Commedia dell'arte staging of Pippin was the sensation of the 1972 Broadway season. And Schwartz's lovable, catchy, Motownish score sounded like the ink wasn't yet dry on the page. Like Godspell, Schwartz's first Broadway smash, Pippin was born of 60s sensibilities. The son of the Holy Roman Empire, Charlemagne, needed to find himself. Didn't we all? Give peace a chance, roared the placards. Hippiedom ruled, joss sticks, flowered shirts and flares were de rigueur. The Beatles went to India. And even if it was a bit of a tall order amidst all the carnage of 780 AD or thereabouts, Pippin dared to say it. Make love, not war.
Sitting on the floor and talking till dawn.
Candles and confidences.
Trading old beliefs and humming old songs.
And lowering old defenses.
Singing a love song. La 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 la. Love song. La la. Little jokes and silly pet names.
Lavender soap and lotions.
All of the cliches and all of the games.
And all of the strange emotions.
Singing a love song. La 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 la. Love song. La 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 la.
When words fail you. Flower power, Pippin style. All the ballads in Schwartz's terrific score have that sweet, spontaneous, folksy, homespun kind of lilt. He has a gift for elevating the seemingly simple and taking it somewhere else. His melodies almost sing themselves. By his own admission, Schwartz is still very much a love child of the 60s. He still holds true to the politics, he still believes in the concept of community, and that, coupled with the fact that he originally majored in drama rather than music, gives his shows a truly organic sense of ensemble. On then to the sleepy little village of Concord in France, where nothing and everything can change in a single day.
Chaque jour est un jour. Comme les autres toujours, le potage l'ouvrage, peut-être l'amour. Le soleil, il voyage, le monde fait un tour. Ainsi, c'est toujours le même. Every day as you do what you do, every day you see the same faces who fill the cafe. And if some of those faces have new things to say, nothing is really different. And the sheep dot the hill where the olive tree sways, and the world spins around with the greens and the greys. And you never take time out to think of the ways. Everything might be different.
Well, the big change in the French village of Concord, as we join Stephen Schwartz's 1976 show, The Baker's Wife, is the arrival of a new baker in town after six agonising, no, catastrophic weeks without one. Now, it may not seem like much of a premise for a hit musical, but Marcel Pagnol and Jean Giono's charming film touched something deep inside Schwartz. And thanks to an original cast album that almost didn't get made because the original production never actually reached New York, his lovely score has prevailed.
Fresh picked rose beside my bed, the coffee pot there, hot there. When I raise my head each day, the first thing that I see is little gifts of love. Days were cold, when nights got tough, I thought his small ways always ought to be enough. So now why should my smile be dim? Accepting gifts of love.
Baker's faithful wife Genevieve, before she runs off with the local heartthrob Dominique, leaving her husband prostrate and the village once more without bread, mad. The Baker's Wife is a great example of how Schwartz's scores outlive success or failure. They stick in the mind regardless of context. Take Meadowlark from The Baker's Wife. If ever a song flew off and made a life for itself, this one did. The producer David Merrick repeatedly tried to cut it from the show. It was too much of a set piece, he said. It held up the action. If I have to poison the birdseed, I'm getting rid of that song. What if someone had told him then that it was destined to become iconic? A must-learn audition piece for would-be female stars everywhere. Trevor Nunn recalls how he kept hearing it at auditions, and one day he decided to find out where it came from, and then he directed the show. So, pace David Merrick.
When I was a girl, I had a favourite story of the meadowlark who lived where the rivers wide. Her voice could match the angels in its glory, but she was blind. The lark was blind. An old king came and took her to his palace, where the walls were polished bronze and golden braid. And he fed her fruit and nuts from an ivory chalice, and he prayed, "Sing, my meadowlark, sing for me of the silver morning. Set me free, my meadowlark, and I'll buy you a priceless jewel and cloth of brocade and crewel, and I'll love you for life if you will. Sing for me."
The meadowlark that just goes on and on singing. As storytelling goes, that's a song and a half. But then Schwartz's way with words has singled him out as a smart lyricist in his own right. His work on Leonard Bernstein's theatre piece Mass is not just good, it's remarkable. Likewise, his perceptive, haunting lyrics for Charles Strauss's best Broadway score, Rags. It ran only a handful of performances on Broadway, but its songs lingered on and on in the imagination. Stonking Broadway number that haunts you long after you've left the theatre. Children of the Wind, an aria, an anthem for all immigrants in all lands. Schwartz's lyrics have always had that idealistic reach, but they have a colloquial catchiness too. When Rebecca, the immigrant heroine of Rags, starts falling for Saul, a fiery union activist at the sweatshop where she works, the song she sings finds her rationalising her actions and losing her reason at one and the same time. Blame it on the summer night.
Oh, it's way past time and I should be home. Standing here on this moonlit street instead, I want to drink the breeze in and bathe in lantern light. All my reason's gone and I blame it on the summer night. I see couples passing around. The street is full of lunatics sharing some pagan rite. If we're here till dawn, can we blame it on the summer night? I keep remembering his eyes, fiery pale in the moonlight, spinning my heart into shameless summer night.
Rags is an epic with big songs and tremendous scope, but it's an intimate show at heart and can just as successfully be staged small and simple and stark as it was so memorably at the tiny Bridewell Theatre in London, with just a klezmer band to draw us into the musical melting pot that was New York City in the early 1900s.
Tunes from around the block, tunes from afar. Beautiful tunes played by musicians who played for the Tsar. Penny a tune,
for a penny a tune.
Empty your pockets and fill up our hats. Music from the shops and the cold water flats. All for a penny a tune.
All over the east side, they're making a beat. For quarter time in the air. For kiddies and grannies in tenement crannies.
Oh, we sweat and we stitch. Poor folks are poor, that's where music is rich. Music for night and the long afternoon.
Penny a tune and cheap at the price. Rags, music Charles Strauss, lyrics Stephen Schwartz. I spoke of Schwartz's belief in community. How about the musical he devised by committee? Working was an adaptation by Schwartz and Nino Fasso of Studs Terkel's book of the same name. And true to its plain-speaking title, it re-threads the fabric of American life through the thoughts and words, the hopes and fears, the dreams and concerns of the men and women who punch the time clocks and keep the nation on schedule. America singing all the livelong day. Working is not so much a musical or even a review, but more a way of life. Through a series of songs, you might even call them monodramas, by Craig Cornelia, Mickey Grant, Mary Rogers, Susan Birkenhead, James Taylor and Schwartz himself, it chronicles the everyday lives of the normally unsung men and women who teach the kids, build houses, drive trucks, fight fires. You think there's no pride in waiting tables? Are you kidding? It's an art.
There's summies don't care when they put down the plate. There's a sound, not with great. When they move a chair, it'll scrape with a grate on the ground.
Not with me.
I will have my hand right when I place a glass. Notice how I stand right as customers pass. Serve a demi-tasse with a gesture so gentle, or do it again till it's near oriental. Da, 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 dum, dum. It's an art to be a fine waitress, to see that you pleasure each guest. There's a twist to my wrist if I let a fork drop, or cut up a pork chop, or serve a New York chop. It all needs to be stylish and that's what makes it an art.
One of the five songs that Stephen Schwartz himself wrote for Working, celebration of the so-called ordinary men and women whose sense of personal worth can raise them up to a heroic level. Like the housewife who insists that she's just a housewife but knows otherwise, or the father who's a hero to his son but only human to everyone else. Even daddies make mistakes, writes Schwartz in another of his songs, Fathers and Sons.
I've heard a lot of songs say, where are you going, my son? Now I know they're true. Boy, you never stop to think how fast the years run. Now they've taken you. I remember you was 3 and a half. sit there.
A man, his son, and a guitar. The way things used to be when life was simpler and kids actually looked up to their parents.
We'd laugh at some new word you said. I'd tell you where to get to bed, and we'd plan the night away. Planning for our kid.
Ah, yes, childhood. Where did all the innocence go? Well, you don't write for Disney if you don't know the answer to that one. Schwartz does. He's cool, he's in touch, he knows what it's like to be the new kid in the neighbourhood.
Strawberry shortcake, cream on top. Tell me the name of your sweetheart.
Throw it here! Come on! Toss it over this way!
Let's go! They're choosing up already!
Sitting on the curb, staring at the wall, nothing much to do. When you're the new kid in the neighborhood.
I declare war on South Dakota.
Race you to the corner.
Go out short and button hook.
Potato, three potato, five potato, six potato, seven potatoes.
All the kids are out, you can hear them call, but they don't call you.
You don't know who when you're the new kid in the neighborhood. And the street seems full of dangers, and the dogs and cats are strangers. But all the same, you wish you could run and join that game.
Louis, the unlikely hero of Schwartz's children's musical Captain Louis, based on a picture book by Ezra Jack Keats called The Trip and commissioned by the first all-children's theatre in New York City. Schwartz and his family were regulars there long before he decided to write for them. But suddenly it was Halloween and Louis's awfully big adventure was about to begin. Feeling lonely and friendless in the new neighbourhood, Louis decides to check out the old neighbourhood. How does he get there? His favourite toy, a big red plane. It's the only way to travel.
Whatever you say, Captain!
Centre first!
Aye, aye!
Bring it around!
Coming your way!
A little bit further!
We'll try!
Watch your fingers!
Roger, okay!
Now the wings!
Yes, sir!
Keep them straight!
Hey, command some strength!
Tail and propeller!
Yes, sir!
It's looking good!
It's looking great!
Hey, Archie, don't be nervous! Cause look who's on the case, Captain Louie at your service, the aviator ace. As long as you're with me, you'll be okay.
Final boarding!
As we glide up and away, all the other kids will say,
I guess we're beginning our descent, but how exhilarating was that? Schwartz just has to be the past master of uplift. I don't know anyone who can take street music into orbit quite like him. It's the sheer singability of his songs that grabs and won't let go. Right now, more than three decades on from the Godspell sensation, he's finally rocking Broadway and London with a show that redefines what it is to be green. The phenomenal success of Wicked promises to lift the London jinx, which came to a head when the self-confessed favourite of all his shows, Children of Eden, opened and closed here in 1991. John Caird wrote the book, or maybe I should say rewrote the book of Genesis. Well, the first nine chapters anyway. A saga of parents, children and faith. The genesis, if you like, of the dysfunctional family. And, of course, it all begins in the Garden of Eden, where temptation presents itself with more than a touch of fabled Broadway glitz. It's old Snake Eyes and his entourage.
Lesson 143, repeat it after me.
Went forth and multiplied. Many different musics make up Schwartz's Children of Eden. It's arguably the richest of his pageants. But when it comes to the big message of the show, the realisation that free will is what really distinguishes the Children of Eden from all other life forms, Schwartz says it with the most bittersweet of all his folksy ballads, The Hardest Part of Love, which for all parents from Adam and Noah onwards is letting go.
Oh, this son of mine I love so well, and oh, the toll it takes. I would give to him a garden and keep it clear of snakes. But the one thing he most treasures is to make his own mistakes. Oh, he goes charging up the cliffs of life, a reckless mountaineer. I could help him not to stumble, I could warn him what to fear. I could shout until I'm breathless, and he'd still refuse to hear. Oh, but you cannot close the acorn once the oak begins to grow, and you cannot close your heart to what it fears and needs to know, that the hardest part of love is the letting go. As a child I found a sparrow that had fallen from its nest, and I nursed it back to health till it was stronger than the rest. But when I tried to hold it, then it pecked and scratched my chest till I let it go. And I watched it fly away from me with its bright and selfish song, and part of me was cursing I had helped it grow so strong. And I feared it might go hungry, and I feared it might go wrong. Oh, but I could not close the acorn once the oak began to grow, and I cannot close my heart to what it fears and needs to know, that the hardest part of love
is the letting go.
Is the letting go.
The deceptive simplicity of Stephen Schwartz, Letting Go. I've spoken about his 60s sensibilities, his sense of community and ensemble, but what really makes his scores stand out from the crowd is their communal fervour. Remember the old pop song, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony? Well, Schwartz still believes he can. And as his Children of Eden go out into the world, albeit with a few of what he would call his spicy Bernstein chords thrown in, we can believe it too.
Oh.